Welcome to Going Beyond Medicine with Elaine Grohman. Conversations with people who are working to make a difference in our world. Now here's your host for Going Beyond Medicine on Empower Radio, Elaine Grohman.
Good afternoon. This is Elaine Grohman, and this is Empower Radio. And today I'm going to be talking about a different way of thinking about your body so that you really are empowered and to understand the power within the human body. And also, the reason I entitled this show Going Beyond Medicine is to really look beyond what we see as a very limited concept of medicine. We, as Western thinking people and currently living people, we believe that medicine is a substance that you take in the form of a pharmaceutical. But in ancient understanding, a medicine is everything that contributes to your life. And so I want to talk today about a very important medicine wheel that is called the spheres of the body. Many people that are healers or many people that are seeking self-care, whether that is with yoga, meditation, different forms of becoming more aware of the body, are familiar with the term chakra. Well, long before the chakras were called that, they were always known as spheres of energy. So the term and the word chakra is a Sanskrit word that literally means wheel of light. So that literal translation, wheel of light, has significant meaning to us when we understand that a light is an emanation of the vibration that is required in that part of the body. So if you were to think for a moment about an illustration that you might see in many places, in a yoga studio, in a meditation, in a healing center, in many books and posters, you see an image of the human body with these spheres or these circles that run from the base of the spine up through the head. These are often referred to as the chakras. But many people don't realize that each of these chakras have very significant reasons for being the color they are and in the placement that they are, so that they can bring health and awareness to the human body, as well as structure. So if you think into our Western technology, our more current technology, let's say, for instance, you were needing to get an MRI or a CAT scan done. And if you were the technician, you would be sitting in front of a monitor. And let's say you were having an abdominal CT scan done. So that means you would be needing to lay still and have yourself immobilized or still. And you would be in a chamber, usually like a tube for an MRI or that kind of experience. And the purpose of these instruments is to measure the frequencies of the cells, measure the magnetic resonance that is being emanated. When an individual is looking at the screen, they might see the structure of an organ, for instance, and each organ would represent or be represented on the screen as a particular color. If there were a challenge in the body, let's say a lesion or a tumor or some kind of digression from healthy, it would appear on the screen as a different color, because every tissue and every substance will vibrate at a particular color. So the reason I'm telling you that is we look at colors all the time as a diagnostic tool, etc. But we don't realize that the color we're seeing is indicative of something. It's indicative of health. So these ancient people, literally across the Americas, the Vedas, who understood what they called the chakras, the peoples of the Americas that called them the body spheres, they were speaking about the same thing. So everything that is living, and everything that exists is created from atoms. Everything that emotes or has an emotion and or has biology, which means life-giving, movement, growth, death, etc., is emanating various frequencies at different times. So they were aware of all of this. We have kind of homogenized and pasteurized down to the lowest depth of understanding in our world, and we just think a chakra is just an interesting thing that moves energy. Well, it is much more than that. It is vital to life itself. And in the human being, our understanding of the purpose of these body spheres is not only just interesting information, but knowledge that we need to reawaken within ourselves so that we can actually begin to live our lives much more fully. If we look in our everyday world, we see life. We see things happening around us. We hear things happening on television and radio, etc. But often what we hear are images of destruction. We hear about conflict. We hear about challenges that humanity has faced or is facing. And we fail to look at that stagnation of energy that keeps us in conflict. And without looking further to what our human capabilities are, we remain in conflict, both internally in our minds, in our emotions, in our families, in our communities, and in our culture and in the world at large. And we need to learn to understand, I believe, and I think this is a part of what will happen as real true healing begins to occur on our planet. We will learn how to raise ourselves above the common, not normal, but common experience of conflict. And we do know that there is unprecedented amounts of information that tells us that a conflicted mind will become a conflicted body. And that conflict is called disease. So we need to learn, or we have an opportunity to learn, every one of us, what our human body actually is capable of. We have been taught through many cultural beliefs that we should ignore the body, or we should cover up the body, or we should be embarrassed by the body in many different ways, but instead, or glorify the body. All of these things are out of balance. What we need to recognize, and we will begin to recognize, I believe, in the future, is what our bodies are actually capable of. And so I would like to share with you, as briefly as I can in this time together in this show, a little bit of information to help you begin to think differently about yourself and the power that the body actually possesses. And that power then gives us the ability, or at the very least, the choice of looking differently at ourselves so that we can begin to raise above the conflict that we see and actually start to do something for the betterment of our lives, our communities, our culture in the world, and beyond. So all the medicine wheels are referred to as what is called spherical mathematics. Now, many people panic the moment I say mathematics, and I have to say I did the first time too, because I did not always comprehend the symbol of a numeral. And having mild dyslexia as a child with symbols, that could be very confusing and threatening because you were often judged by what you did or did not know. So I want to have you think of mathematics differently than as simple computation. Mathematics is actually a language, much like English is a language, Latin, beauty is a language, Music is a language. Sound is a language. Mathematics is a language that can help us to go deeper into ourselves and understand ourselves more. So the term spherical mathematics, it refers to the fact that we are contextual. We are made of substance. Just like a sphere is emblematic of an atom or the center of an atom, which would be a nucleus, and most things that we know are spherical, they're complete. They have a definitive substance within them. And so do we as humans. So I'm going to start with giving you an understanding. If you could, in your mind and or physically, draw a circle. And I want you to know that when you draw a circle on a piece of paper, you're dealing with a flat plane. So I want you to use your imagination, which is very important, and to imagine that you could see this as an actual sphere, not just a flat circle on a piece of paper. So in our current understanding of the chakra system, all energy that is required for the human body to have as the base of health, we need to have the first body sphere functioning. And as a healer, I always tell people that they have to be grounded, quote unquote, grounded. And even in our own language, we think of grounded as punishment, or meaning when you're a kid, you got grounded. So you might be a little fearful of the word grounded. But also in the science of electricity, grounded means you must have some means of discharge and or receiving from the earth, literally the ground on which you're standing. So in electricity, you have to have a grounding wire, because if you didn't have a grounding wire and you had excess of energy, if it didn't have an ability to discharge, it would create damage. But similarly, if we don't have enough energy in our body, then we will have damage, because every cell in your body needs information. So the human figure, if you could imagine, if you were to see in your mind's eye the image of a chakra system with superimposing these wheels, these light spheres over the body, if you imagine a human standing upright, we have our beautiful two legs. And we connect with the earth by our feet. So I often say to people, imagine your two feet are like two prongs of a plug that are plugging in to the energy of the earth. And within the human body, energy needs to move up into the body so that your immune system can begin to do and create a very important substance that we really know so little about. But without it, we would not be. And that substance is our blood. Much of our blood is made within the marrow of our bones. And the long bones of the tibia and the fibula, the lower part of the leg, and the femur, the upper part of the leg, is such powerhouses of creation of blood products. So in order to have nutrients, oxygen, fluid move through the body, we need to have this substance called blood. And we also, simultaneously, its function is to remove waste. So we have to learn to be grounded, not just for our own quote-unquote protection, which is a phrase that is most often misused, but rather for the ability for the body to remain strong. So strength is a natural protective defense against any invading germ or virus within the body. So rather than protection, which often has a connotation of fear, it would be wiser to use the word protection. So in the human chakra system and in the human body sphere system, the common phrase for the chakra at the base of the spine is called the root chakra in the chakra system. And in the medicine wheel known as the spheres of the body, is also at the base of the spine, and that is where the human genitals are. So obviously there is, in our human experience, we have the experience of what is referred to as magnetism. And we magnetize to our one another in physical ways as human beings for the potential of life to come forth. So we use the term when there is an attraction with male and female in particular. We're talking about just strictly right now, so that we can have human birth come forth. So we have magnetism. So any electrical current creates a magnetic force. So we have magnetism to one another when our energy fields are sufficiently strong and there is a natural gravitation to a substance or to a frequency that is unequal, so that there is no deviation and or need for control of one another, but rather a coming together of a balance of balanced individuals, which is the optimal for all humans. To be in relationships there where there is no power struggle, but where there is a relationship for life to come forth, not only in the life of another human being in the form of an infant, embryo, but also to build a community together in the form of a family that is nurturing the life that we have to bring forth better things to this world. So in this context that I'm speaking of, we were designed to come together as equals, male and female, equals with different qualities and abilities that we bring forth. Now, equal does not mean identical. Equal does not mean the same. So as I'm sitting here with this sweet young man, Nate, there is obvious physical differences. He's a big guy. If you were to look at his hand and my hand, he's got a giant hand. He's got a bigger body structure. But that does not mean that by size alone that one is superior or one is inferior. Is human beings were designed in particular ways for very particular reasons. And we have really dishonored ourselves when we get when we have so far strayed from the understanding of equality and real power, and have changed that concept to force versus superiority. And we need to get back to the notion of balance. So getting back to these body spheres, and I'm going to use the term chakra system also simultaneously to make sure that you understand that we're talking about the same thing, but here in the medicine wheel of the body spheres with much more depth. So our human ability to procreate and hopefully to mate with someone who is loving and kind and treats one another as an equal, then there is greater opportunities for the life that is to be formed to come into a healthy situation. That is the optimal way for humans to be. That is, however, not the common way we see in our world today. We see aggression. We see impoverishment. We see women and men not seen equally. And what we have forgotten is we are a species that is comprised of male and female. Without one another, we would no longer exist. We would literally become extinct. So the root chakra, or the first body sphere, is located in where human anatomy is, in the genitalia, which is beautiful places of opportunity for life to come forth. And when we look at it in the pure science of what the body is capable of, and not from any grotesque or imbalanced way of looking at our bodies, then we would understand that there's incredible magic that happens and beauty that happens when there is an understanding of the purpose of our bodies. So that would be the root chakra. So this is obviously sexual energy, magnetism, but also the creative force that can bring forth. There is nothing more amazing than a human life being born. There is nothing that we can even begin to comprehend the complexity of what is taking place in such a short period of gestation, that in 9 short months, how can something microscopic become a fully functioning human system known as a body that has the potential to learn, to grow, to create, to contribute, to bring beauty to the world? So the root chakra, or the first body sphere, is required for that force and power of creation to begin. And it begins within that very sacred part of our body. And the second sphere, which we often refer to in the chakra system as the sacral chakra, is within it. So the root chakra is the magnetism itself. Think of it that way. It's the power of the magnetism itself, of pure magnetism, not force, not aggression, not unwantedness, but complete understanding of the power that is available when two equals come together to create life. Then that part of the human bodies that are required there, if the mechanics, if you will, are the testes and the womb. Because the womb is the place where life is gestating. But without that magical, dark, beautiful, watery spot that in Native American culture called the first ocean, all humans' life began in the first ocean, meaning amniotic fluid. We don't even understand what is this. How is it that a human being can be in water for 9 months and not drown? How is that? And how is it that, what is the substance, what is this water and the salt doing to help to bring information to the body through the waves of sound that move through the body to help to coordinate in the most intricate way all of the substances that will create this human body? So the sacral chakra is this beautiful incubation place of a human life. And imagine how many lives have come as their beginning place when this was in discord, when this was an act that was created in violence, or an act that was created in respect and love. The energy there alone will begin to change molecularly, and perhaps even in our DNA, what needs to be either encouraged or discouraged so that life will actually flourish within this body and within the greater body of the mother and with the protection of the male. And so the first and the second chakras are the root chakra in the chakra system and the sacral chakra. The third chakra, which in our chakra system is known as the solar plexus chakra, is also the place of our human emotions, and it is the place of the stomach. So there is a whole other concept that goes beyond what we think of in the current understanding, or the limited understanding of the chakra systems And in a moment when we come back from the break, we're going to talk about what is this third chakra and what does it have to do with the stomach and what it does have to do with emotions and what it does have to do with death and life. In fact, it has everything to do with death and life. And this root, sacral, and solar plexus chakra are immediately required as the engine of the body in order for the body to function, and then have the potential to go from just being a physical vessel into being a powerhouse of goodness on the planet. So we're going to take a little bit of a break. I'm Elaine Groman. This is Going Beyond Medicine on Empower Radio, and we're talking about the body spheres in the medicine wheels and our understanding of the potentials within ourselves. We'll be right back.
The Empower Meditation Channel. Nonstop meditation music 24 hours a day in the new Empower Radio app. Music to empower your meditation, help you relax, sleep, or provide a calm background while you work. The Empower Meditation Channel is interruption-free. Listen now with the Empower Radio app, free in the App Store, or listen online at empower.fm. Soothe your soul. Calm your mind. The Empower Meditation Channel.
There's a natural resource that exists everywhere on the planet which could benefit all of civilization. Yet it's been largely ignored. That resource is women. In many of the world's poorest communities, women are denied a significant role. So often their talent and potential remain untapped. At CARE, we found in country after country that empowering women is one of the fastest ways to improve conditions and help end poverty. That's why CARE is helping provide girls and women with an education, opportunity, and a voice worldwide.
I am powerful.
I am powerful.
I am powerful.
I am powerful.
It's a source of power the world can no longer afford to overlook. She has the power to change her world. You have the power to help her do it. Call 1-800-521-CARE or visit care.org.
Welcome back to The Cat Show. Up next, we have Nico. Nico is a member of the Shelter Pet Group.
That's right. A group known especially for their sunspot sleeping, ball chasing, leg rubbing, couch purring, bed leaping, and of course, companionship.
Wonderful. And what breed would you say Nico is?
I'd have to go with a tabby-ish Persian kind of mix.
Tremendous cat.
I'd also like to point out her coat's wonderful mix of colors. Is it black, gray, black, brown?
Somewhere in between.
Indeed.
You know, it's always special when we get to see a cat like this.
Just look how she struts.
It's like she owns the place.
And how she's so incredibly cute in her indifference to commands.
A strong-willed feline.
Ah, and see how she curls up and cuddles her person.
The pitch on her purring is simply perfect.
Nice one.
I know. Fantastic cat.
Fantastic indeed. But really the best way to know an amazing shelter pet like Nico is to meet one.
Visit theshelterpetproject.org today. Adopt. Brought to you by Maddie's Fund, the Humane Society of the United States, and the Ad Council.
You're so annoying.
You're so annoying.
Stop copying me.
Stop copying me.
Mom, tell her to stop copying me.
Mom, tell her to stop talking to me.
Kids will spend 10 minutes copying everything their sibling says.
You're such a doofus.
You're such a doofus.
How about 2 minutes to brush their teeth? Brushing for 2 minutes now can save your child from severe tooth pain later. For fun 2-minute videos to watch while brushing, visit 2min2x.org. 2 minutes, twice a day. I have the time.
Mom!
A message from the Partnership for Healthy Mouths, Healthy Lives, and the Ad Council.
Now back to Elaine Groman and Going Beyond Medicine on Empower Radio.
EmpowerRadio.com.
Welcome back. This is Elaine Groman on Going Beyond Medicine on Empower Radio. And today I'm talking about bringing information about an ancient medicine wheel called the medicine wheel, the spheres of the body, and helping us to learn that, you know, this is a very big subject, and I would really love to encourage people to go to my website because I do teach medicine wheels, and medicine wheels are really deep, powerful information tools and are at minimally 10,000 years old. These are ways that help us to look at our lives differently and bring us back into balance, bring us back into a deeper understanding of what we're here for. And it's so easy for us to get off track. And so today I wanted to talk about the body spheres from the ancient understanding so that we can understand that our bodies are so significant. And we have kind of lost the awareness of this incredible capacity within our vehicle called the body. So I just briefly in the first part of the show started to explain about what's called the first body sphere, which is located at the base of the spine in the coccyx region, and that in the Ayurvedic model is referred to as the root chakra. So that has to do with magnetism, our desire to come together to create life. The second chakra, also known as the sacral chakra, the medicine wheel called the sphere of the bodies, is the area of the womb and the testes. So it is the place where life has the potential to come forth. The greatest act that greatest miracle within human experience is the bringing forth of a life and the honoring of that life and bringing it forth so that that individual too can continue to have this human species continue, but also to be a contributing, beautiful, influential, positive force in life. And the third chakra in the chakra system is called the solar plexus. But here in the body spheres medicine wheel, it is considered the stomach. Now, interestingly, this is the place of digestion. And there is many, many things that this sphere can do. This is how we connect to the outside world. We have quote unquote gut feelings where we can feel whether things are right for us. We have a knowing whether something is to be avoided or to be drawn towards. But it is also a place of, this particular body sphere is the place of both death and life. Now you might wonder why is it talked about death? Because the truth is that all substances that we consume have needed to die in order for our life to come forth. So the moment you pick a plant, harvest a plant, its life force has been disconnected. And that plant has to die in order for your life to come forward. If we are omnivores and we eat animals, then we are needing to have the death of that being, that fish, that chicken, that goat, that lamb, that deer, that cow, whatever it is, their life must end. There must be death in order for the substance of their body to become our body. And so that is not something that was ever taken lightly. It was taken always with a great deal of respect, knowing that as part of the cycle of life, there is giving, there's called the giveaway, and there is the receiving. And so plants possess a great power of transformation. The substance, it's amazing when you think about it, and you just sit down at lunch today, let's say, and you have a beautiful salad in front of you. How is it that this leafy vegetable or this beautiful cut of meat can become your heart, can become your next thought, or be the fuel for you to have a next thought, or for you to be able to move through space, to have a cognitive thought? Without these substances and the purity and the health of these substances being fiercely guarded, our own health cannot be. So this important sphere is the sphere of the stomach. It is also a sphere of which, or where which, we experience emotions, interestingly. So we have to learn, and we really are not taught, unfortunately, how to digest what we experience. We react to what we experience. We don't digest it, meaning from an emotional perspective. If we see something that is harmful, we need to digest that information, meaning take it in to ourselves and take from it that which is good, if there is anything good, and eliminate, literally, what is no longer of value, so that instead of continually, repeatedly getting in conflicting situations, we can digest the information and say, this is something I need to set aside, whether that's anger, judgment, prejudice, all of the things that that entrap us in limiting concepts, and let that go. And literally let that die, let that notion die, so that we can digest differently and say, let's say, as an example, we witness something that is not enhancing life. Then we can say, I'm going to let that go. I am no longer going to interact with that. And I'm going to find a better alternative. Likewise, the body will do the same. The body will take what we consume in terms of nourishment, and it will either try to protect us from what we have consumed that is harmful by our body going into action to nullify something that is potentially harmful, or it will use that substance to enhance life. So this body sphere, known as the stomach, is important for digestion, because we need to literally learn how to transform. We transform substances every day and don't even think about it. We transform in our body the food that we consume, the water that we consume, into life itself within ourselves. And then the substances no longer needed is excremented from the body as waste and is transformed into something else. This is the third body sphere. The stomach is the center of our emotions. We also need to consume what is healthy for us emotionally so that we can grow and make good choices for the betterment of all of humanity, not just ourselves. So the next body sphere is the fourth body sphere. In the chakra system, in the Ayurvedic model, this is called the heart. It is on the sternum, not on the physical heart. And this, interestingly, in another medicine wheel, is the place of all animals. Now you think, what does all animals have to do with the heart? A lot. Because it is through animals we learn courage and fear. We learn to be courageous, and we also learn to be fearful. Courage is not ignorance or stupidity or bravado. That is fear. Courage is looking at something, making a choice, especially if it is not good, and say, we can do better and we must do better. That takes courage. Fear, on the other hand, keeps us in a low vibration. And we don't have to look very far to see that continuing fear of knowing our greater selves creates war, creates any form of abuse, and encourages it to be present. So the heart and what we learn from the animals is very important. The animals were the first, what's called, children of life, and were given physical independence. So they were a representation, if you would imagine, of an animal has the ability to move, to migrate, to have flight. Just like a human has the ability to move through time and space, we have the ability to move and grow and experience different horizons, different vistas, different advantage points, if you will. And animals, or excuse me, plants don't have that. Plants are rooted to the earth. They give their life so that we as humans can also live and have this great adventure that we witness in plants, or excuse me, in animals, of their ability to soar, their ability to have strength, their ability to be courageous, their ability to lie down their life, and the ability to work together as a species of beings. So the animal, four, gave the human also their heart and their lungs, meaning they gave us the understanding of the heart and lungs. In the other species on the planet, animals have hearts and lungs. Trees don't. Plants don't. Single-cell organisms don't. But animals and humans enjoy and use these two very important organ systems. So the humans have the ability to live in the element of air. So air is so important for us to understand. So, and our human heart and lungs together create the body sphere known as the four. So fear and courage are important for us to understand and to look at in a different way. We even look at great leaders like King Richard the Lion-hearted. Think about that. The symbolism of an animal, a lion, with the heart, is a symbol of courage. So we use these, and we have examples of it throughout our literature and throughout history, of dynamic examples of what it means to rule with the heart. So in our greater, deeper understanding of the heart is also known as the transducer. This is the place where we can open our hearts for the betterment of others rather than to close our hearts, which creates fear, which creates destruction, which creates damage. So our courage or our fear directly influence our creativity, our will, our sexuality, even our ability to yield, our ability to satiate or a deviant appetite if it's driven by fear, or an encouraging experience if it's meant to open people's hearts to the greater potential, to so that we might resolve problems. So in the human experience, our greatest challenge, I believe, is learning how to overcome fear to become courageous. To look at, for instance, the degradation of another human that is an enticement and uses fear and takes courage to say, no, I will not participate in this. I will not encourage this. I will not allow it to be in my presence. So that could be in so many forms of, if we look in our government and we see how fear mongering is there, name calling, problems, it takes a courageous individual to say we will get nothing accomplished if we only do this. In interpersonal relationships, if there's only the fearful force, then there is no growth forward. There is only stagnation. It takes great courage to walk away from abuse. It takes great courage to say, no person should starve. It takes great courage to say, no human being should be left on the street. But we don't know how to use yet the great value within our heart. And until we do, we will watch these continuation of travesties. And we learn to overcome fear because fear is an indication that something is wrong. And so our heart is that beautiful sphere that helps us to transfer and translate our fear into understanding of what is not working so that we can be courageous enough to move forward. That is the fourth body sphere. And in the classic, most common understanding of the heart chakra is so much more than just the heart itself and the misunderstanding of an emotion, but rather the power to bring forth goodness resides within our ability to let fear lose its power over us so we can be courageous. The fifth body sphere is, you will if you were to study with me, and I encourage you to go to my website, which is www.ElaineGrohman.com, and look at the classes that I do teach about energy medicine, about the body spheres, which is called the medicine wheels, about the medicine wheels upon which one is the body spheres, one is the creation of the planet, our place within this cosmos, our relationship to all living things is old information. This is not something new. This is not new age anything. This is ancient. But we need to bring it into our current age so that how we think will become new to us. So I would encourage you and let you know that I do travel to teach, and I look forward to those opportunities to help people change the way that they think so that you can actually live a happier life and a more productive life. So the next sphere in another medicine wheel called the Children's Earth Count and the Earth Count is the place called the place of the five. And that a five represents a human being. So now, if I were to correlate that with the fifth chakra, there is a big significant value to being a human as it relates to the fifth chakra, which is our voice. We, as a species, have the gift of language. We have the gift of using our voice that other beings on this planet do not have. And when we have the awareness of the power that our voice can evoke within ourselves and in all of humanity, we have to learn how to not take it so lightly. Our language is so maligned. Our language is so misused, so irresponsibly at times thrown around, and creates a lot of damage and a lot of ignorance. And I want to again emphasize the word ignorance is not stupidity, although it can lead to that. Most people have willful neglect, which means they choose to ignore. That is true ignorance, when you choose to ignore. So the five, our ability to speak, this very important center, is very special for humans. And the diversity of language is incredible across this planet. But the meaning of language, when we get to the root meaning, we all are trying to communicate basically the same language with different sounds. So our language can be brutal. It could be demanding. It could be demeaning. Or it can raise above that and at least be demanding. And if it's demanding and if it's brutal, it's trying to, stop communication. But if at least is quote unquote argumentative, which is better than demanding, believe it or not, because you're opening doors for conversation. And then if we can go beyond the malignment of argumentative conversation to the potential of communication, and then the potential of comprehension, and then the potential for negotiation, and then clear communication with language, so that there is no maligning, there is no misdirection, there is no manipulation. But pure language, of which humans have the ability to evoke, has destroyed or uplifted humanity. We have an opportunity to really begin to understand the power inherent in our language and our ability to speak. So again, the ability to develop intricate systems of vocal emanations, sound, that we can create. I was thinking the other day, I was watching the show America's Got Talent. And sometimes I'm actually brought to tears when I see people whose bodies have the capacity to bring a voice out, a sound out of a human body that is so evocative, that is so an evidence of emotion, that makes you feel something. Only humans have that ability. That's really something to really think about, what we have the potential to do. So we also have the ability to articulate both the profane and the profound. What do you choose? What do you choose? How do you choose to use this very sacred sphere located in the human throat, which on the physical level includes the mouth, the tongue, and the ability to taste? So we need to learn to taste, quote unquote, the richness of language. We've even have said accurately, when someone says something unkind, it leaves, quote unquote, a sour taste in the mouth. It does, doesn't it? We feel the bitterness of words. We feel the sweetness of words. And we need to understand that if rhetoric, language, is destructive, then we need to learn to raise ourselves above that instead of keeping ourselves in the midst of it. Wouldn't it be interesting if we stopped speaking across the aisle, for instance, in legislative ways, and actually spoke in a circle so that we could see that we're here all together, literally, again, in a circle, to bring life forth, not to divide. And the richness of human language is beyond our understanding, really. So the sixth chakra is the important chakra that gives us the ability to see. It's also referred to as the third eye in Ayurvedic and the Vedic way of looking at the chakra system. But it gives us information. Our bodies have the ability to receive information and beauty through our eyes and also to intuit. I'm going to go kind of quickly because we're running out of time. But the seventh chakra is, in this instance, referred to as the mind, also the brain. So the seventh chakra of our mind and brain is very important for us to take a look at, because the brain mind is the physical brain. But then we have a body mind, and that's in the position of the eight. The brain mind and the body mind are not the same. The brain mind is the mechanics. It is the computer, if you will, that tells the body how to create what it needs to make this physical structure. But the body mind is what we feel. It is a part of the physical body and our senses that we have been taught to ignore, and we have become senseless. We need to learn to recognize our senses are important. And finally, the last thing that I'll speak about is the 10. And that is our higher self. And that is where all people that have been revered throughout history knew how to get to. those individuals, those great prophets, those great leaders, Muhammad, the teacher known as Jesus Christ, Gandhi, Mother Teresa, many, many, many people known and unknown throughout human history, because many people's histories have been wiped out. But in our own personal life, we are meant to seek and find and live in our higher self, that part of which we use the totality of our being with great dignity and awareness so that we can bring good things forward, contributing to the betterment of the whole of the species of humanity, and therefore the whole of the species of the life forms known as those who inhabit Mother Earth. Because we are all in this together. Without the death of the plants, our bodies could not be. Without the death of other plants, other animals could not be. And we are all in this amazing microcosm. We're all in this amazing cosmology, this system that is designed far beyond our intellect, far beyond our reasoning, far beyond our ability to comprehend. But we have the ability to begin to walk in the steps of comprehension. And we need to have healthy human bodies and minds in order to do that. So again, I encourage you to look beyond what you think is medicine. Look beyond what you see as your problem to find a solution. It's all within you. It's all around you. And it is a part of this ecosystem we call life itself. So I am Elaine Grohman. This is Empower Radio. This has been Going Beyond Medicine. Again, I encourage you to look at ways that we can work together to change our thoughts, our actions, and our world. Take a look at what I have on my website, elainegrohman.com, and I'll look forward to speaking with you soon. Thank you, and make it a beautiful day. It is your life, after all.